Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, one parting thing that Trump said at the CPAC, Conservative Political Action Conference, was that the Supreme Court, quote, didn't have the guts to do something about it, end quote, i.e. his claim about the fraudulent election. He appointed three of the judges. There's only nine of them. He appointed a third of them. Comey, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh. The fact that none of them even put in a dissenting vote tells you a lot. Now, the reaction to the speech, in the conference was priceless. Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley is a quintessential suck-up to Trump. She was all into his business the whole time. She was ambassador to the United Nations. The minute January 6th came along, she was afraid he might be going down. She stabbed him right in the back. And she goes, we never should have followed him. He did a few things, but he can't be part of the party anymore. Suddenly, the polls after January 6th up to now show that he still is strong in the party. And she just massively sucked up around him, came right back, betrayed the quarterback who lost the football game, tried to look for a new quarterback. Couldn't find him. The old quarterback looked strong. And here's what she says. She says, Trump's speech at CPAC was strong. He stood strong. Trying to suck up. She wanted to come and speak there. They wouldn't have her. Trump wouldn't have her. She's toast. I mean, come on. This guy is a vengeance freak. A woman like that betrays him and then sucks back up. He let Lindsey Graham do it for some reason. But Lindsey Graham is an elected senator from South Carolina. To some extent, he needs him. He doesn't need Nikki Haley. The guy I think that has some character is Ben Sasse of Nebraska. He's a Republican. Nebraska is a red state. And he has turned on Trump consistently. And this time he said, this is the weird worship of one dude. We cannot have a party with the weird worship of one dude. He's a young guy, and there, at least, they didn't censure him statewide as they censured a lot of the others in the Republican Party. I think they're afraid to. He said, drop dead. I'm an independent guy. Good luck censoring me, and they backed off. And I think the bloom will be off of Trump's rose going forward as we get farther and farther away from his presidency. We're going to the lines. East Side Dave, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, East Side Dave?
Good morning. I just, by the way, nice way to come out swinging. Some of you guys are real good at that.
thank you, Dave.
But I wanted to touch back on a different subject just for a minute, I hope, about something I read from a guy in either Harper's or The Atlantic, which I strongly recommend to anybody that's willing to be challenged and, you know, heady stuff, and yeah. I'm sure you've read them.
Yep.
But what this guy said about our grid and our electric system, and I thought it just sounded great. Solar is not the answer. Wind is not the answer. And our outdated electric grid, you know, what he was saying is it all needs to be integrated. And I just thought that made the most sense. And we know that the Republicans and others are going to say, oh, we couldn't afford that. Well, look what the people did in Holland. They made sure, they did the work to make sure that they wouldn't get flooded. And, yeah, it was a big investment. So we could afford this if we weren't busy spending all this money on useless wars in other countries that most Americans, unfortunately, don't care about. And also, if we cut the subsidies to the oil industry, that should have been
You're making a good point. Now, let me just jump in for a second. It's kind of intriguing. I'm not sure what the author of that article said we should base the grid on, but here's my view. Here's my view, Dave, because it's an important issue. People that, for instance, look at Texas and say, oh, there are problems with the grid. Texas is a screwed up state. They deliberately deregulated, deliberately took themselves off the national grid so they couldn't borrow power from California and elsewhere in the country. They didn't winterize their grid. Their natural gas lines went down before their wind turbines. The truth is that people have wind turbines and natural gas lines in Norway, the Arctic, and Wisconsin, Minnesota, and they don't freeze. Texas simply is one of these states, well, okay, we're not even going to have any regulation. So they have all these power companies that call you up and they offer you cheap energy. There's a clause in the contract that says if it's hard to get and we can't get it from another grid, of course, you're going to pay a lot of money. And some of them paid $17,000 for 5 days of power. It's a screwed up state. But I think that ultimately the grid, so to speak, the power is largely going to be solar. And I'll tell you why. Because the sun produces so much energy that a few minutes of it would power the world for a year. It's a matter of capturing. It's a matter of batteries. It's a matter of figuring it out technologically. General Motors is going to all electric cars by the year 2035, and they're not doing it because they were told to. They're not doing it because they're a big environmentalist, so maybe some of them are. They're doing it because it's profitable, because it works, and they think it will sell cars. And that is the wave of the future. And fossil fuels are not the wave of the future. But the good thing is we have some good scientists working on it right now. Dave, thanks very much for calling. I really appreciate it. I want to go back to CPAC, Conservative Political Action Conference. Another piece of work is Tom Cotton, Senator from Arkansas. Tom Cotton, when you think that Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas, and now they're reduced to Tom Cotton as senator from Arkansas, it's a very sad thing. He, remember, is the guy that wrote a New York Times editorial saying that federal troops should be deployed to put down protesters like the Black Lives Matter movement, the way they put down protesters in China, the Chaicoms, the Commie Ruskies, Belarus, commie countries, jihadist countries. He said that. They published in the New York Times an opinion piece. The editor that decided to do it got let go. I didn't agree with that. I think it was a nut job editorial, but the guy's a U.S. senator. What you do is you publish it, and then you publish somebody else saying, Cotton's a nut job. Cotton's a nut job. Okay? That's the way you handle something like that. But Cotton had the gall to show up at CPAC and say again, we should deploy federal troops to put down protests. In the United States, we should not have any protests. And he said the New York Times, quote, were social justice warriors, end quote, a child mob, end quote. Now, I don't know where these guys come up with their analogies. I mean, you may be mad at a news medium for saying something unfavorable to you. Every politician does. Every politician does. Even the good ones, even John F. Kennedy didn't like what the Herald Tribune wrote about him. Many people don't remember the Herald Tribune, but at one time, the Herald Tribune was the most popular newspaper in the country in the 19th century. And a little known fact is that Karl Marx himself, founder of Marxism, wrote Das Kapital, was a foreign correspondent for the Herald Tribune. And I've read his posts. And actually what it was had nothing to do with communism. It had to do with the savagery of the British Empire in Ireland and elsewhere, the savagery in India. And he was right on the money in a lot of this stuff, even though he was dead wrong in Das Kapital. However, John F. Kennedy, they said something nasty about him. And even John F. Kennedy said, well, this is the paper that Karl Marx was the foreign part correspondent. So, you know, people take shots. But, you know, to go in front of CPAC when you think you're going to run for president, if you're going to call him a name, at least come up with something. A child mob? I mean, that's just a weird, weird thing to say. Cotton is weak. He's not a leader. And no one, I'm not voting for a guy who says we should use federal troops to put down people who are exercising their First Amendment rights. He's not talking about people who commit vandalism. Local police forces do that. He's talking about the kinds of troops that the Chinese put in Hong Kong, that the Commie Ruskies put, that in Belarus they do it. That's what he's talking about. Venezuela, that's what he's talking about. So Tom Cotton, shame on you, Tom Cotton, a badge of shame. Tom Cotton is off the list. Frankly, he was never on the list, but off the list is anybody that you would consider for the presidency of the United States in 2024. That's it. The one of the things that happened, and you know, I'm thinking about this and it bugs me, but I want to explain what I think happened. You remember the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, right? The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Chainsaw Charlie, you call him Bone Saw over there, Bone Saw, ordered the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. Jamal Khashoggi was an American resident, not a citizen, but he lived in the United States. He had legal residency and he was a contributor to the Washington Post and other journals. He was marrying a woman, and in the Muslim faith, he needed a certain kind of divorce document. And so he decided he would go as a Saudi, as an Arab, he would go to the Saudi Arabian embassy in Istanbul, Turkey. He was afraid to go to Saudi Arabia because he knew they'd arrest him and kill him at the airport. But he figured, I'll go to the Saudi Arabian embassy in Istanbul and they won't pull anything. This was an extremely bad idea. This was a fatal idea for Jamal Khashoggi. He goes in. There's a whole bunch of these security thugs. They beat him. He fights, but, you know, the guy's in his 50s. He's not in shape. And there's, you know, 20 of them, and they're all in their 20s. And they beat him, and they pull out a chainsaw, and they dismember him. Very cold. That's a very cold thing to do. Cold thing. Guy goes in for a religious document, and they dismember him, stick him in a diplomatic pouch, ship him back to Saudi Arabia. Nobody has ever found the body. Now, Biden during the campaign had said, you know, we're going to hold them accountable. We're going to hold them accountable. And we're going to hold them. They're a pariah, blah, blah, blah. And then what he does is he comes out and restricts visas, throws out of the United States a number of high-ranking Saudis, but nothing is mentioned about the Crown Prince other than the fact that he fingered the murder. Going to a break. Come back. We're going to talk about this some more. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.